Simon. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Are we ready to worship the Lord?
Yes.
Oh, that's a response I like. So let's come and worship the Lord. Let's just quietly for the moment just become in his presence and just realize who we are worshiping and why we are worshiping. And let's bring all our worries to him now so that we can really worship him in mind, body and spirit. Let's take a few minutes in silence just to realize where we are and who we are going to worship, just for a few minutes before we start. Lord, hear our prayers that we have said silently to you. Amen. Let's start our worship this morning with hymn 528. O worship the King.
Oh, grateful is he, Let us pray. Lord of all, as we gather to worship you today, we ask for our hearts to be open to your presence and your word. Fill this place with your Holy Spirit and our souls with your peace. Let every song, prayer, and word glorify you and draw us closer in communion with you and each other. Let us all be renewed in Jesus. We pray that the light of Christ will shine out through us in the precious name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus. Amen. And we join together and say that prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
I'm going to read Psalm 139. And if you want to follow it, you'll find it on page 628. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked, away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them as my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Our next hymn is Come People of the Risen King, and it's not in the book. You'll find the words up on the board. And Louise says it has a very strong introduction, so be ready.
And then it was almost intense. As he was in so much pain, and I'd been hoping all day that the pain would go and he would get better. And then, as so often happens, in the middle of the night, he declared he just needed to go to hospital. I'll be perfectly honest, I didn't want to drive from Ullapool to Inverness, across the mountain winding roads, with the snow-capped mountains that look beautiful in the day, but at midnight in the pitch black, and the rain pouring down on the car. I knew it was 57 miles. I'd already looked that part up. And I knew that even with my driving, it might take 90 minutes or so. But suddenly he was adamant, "We're going." I rapidly grabbed the last of our possessions from our room, scribble a note to the couple at the bed and breakfast, and we set off for Inverness Hospital. Nigel's trying very hard to sit next to me, but the pain keeps stabbing at his stomach, and he keeps sighing. I don't know whether it's the pain or my driving, but he keeps clutching his side, and I hope it's the pain. And I know we just have to go. I've always prayed when we go on a long journey. It was something we did as children, asking God to be with us on the road ahead and help us to concentrate. But tonight it was so much more direct. God, you know I don't want to drive. It's pouring with rain. There's wind swirling the car around. But please be with us. Hold us close to you. And be with Nigel in his pain. And we were off. As the road wound up into the mountains, I saw more and more slow and bend signs. So I kept slowing down. We crept round each bend and then slowly accelerated to the next bend. After what seemed an eternity, I stole a quick look at the screen to see we'd just travelled only 10 miles. So I thanked God and prayed for the next 10 miles. I knew I was tense because my fingers were gripping the steering wheel. But then we also had great big lorries that seemed to be bearing down from us from the opposite direction. Lord, just keep us safe, I cried out. And then eventually, we arrive at Inverness Hospital. As I locked the car, I just thanked God that we were there safely. And then we walked into A&E. It didn't take long to be seen that night. It was now 2 o'clock, took longer for me to drive. And Nigel was taken in and given so many tests and a scan. They ruled out appendicitis, which was what he was really worried about. But they didn't actually find the actual problem. So they decided to admit him, which at that moment I was really pleased about. And then reality kicked in. He went off to the ward and I returned to the car. What next? I'm sitting at 6 o'clock in a hospital car park, hundreds of miles from home. What am I going to do? We always discuss things in our marriage, and suddenly there's nobody beside me to look after me. That sudden realisation that I was alone, and I had to quickly come up with a plan. I'm in a place I don't know. I don't know anyone. My tummy's telling me I need some breakfast because we missed the evening meal because he wasn't well. But I knew that God was with me. He was holding me very close and I felt his presence in a very real way. I was quite pleased with myself. I'd soon found myself somewhere to stay. A table was booked for one in the evening. And amazingly, the hospital car park was free.
As the morning progressed, I let the boys know where we were. I messaged Sharon, who swiftly sent out a prayer request for Nigel to the church family. And knowing that people were praying for us made us feel so loved. I just wanted to thank God that people were there praying for us. And after that initial moment at 6 a.m, I never felt frightened or lost. I dozed in the car, I read my book, as the morning moved on. I found an old croissant that was still in the box, and there was some water in the car, because we always have it. And then I had a phone call from Nigel. The consultant had discharged him. They didn't want him using up one of their Scottish beds, so it was time for him to come out. But God is so amazing. He knows our situations, and he's there with us as long as we take him with us. We've just heard this beautiful psalm, 139 from Pippa, with God declaring he knows everything about us from before we were born, and he will be with us wherever we go. Verse 2 and 3, you know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. God is with us through every situation we find ourselves in. He is there protecting, loving, and guiding. He knows and loves us completely. And no matter where we go, we can never be far from God's comforting presence. But verse 23 says, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts." I didn't really want to be testing God on that morning in Inverness. I had plenty of anxious thoughts, but yet God understood my situation completely. I knew his presence that morning, driving those dreadful roads, sitting alone in a car park worrying about Nigel, and then having to make decisions about our holiday as the boat was going that morning. I needed to make a decision. Yet a wonderful lady answered my call. She gave us another sailing a few days later with no drama at all. No more to pay, just sorted it. And God met every challenge. He found me somewhere to stay for the night. And Andrew, bless him, even offered to fly up as he was worried about me on my own. And he offered to drive us home. Yet there was more. As Nigel was prayed for, his healing began. He was now pain-free. I think the morphine had quite a lot to do with that. But each day he felt stronger. And the more he rested and slept, the healing proceeded. And then, something we couldn't believe, we were able to continue our journey. We had so much to thank God for. His healing hands, his presence and support through that awful journey. The care God provided for Nigel from the doctors and nurses. And a place to stay and rest before moving on. And verse 5 says, "You hem me in from behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me." More beautiful words of comfort and love from God. I have to say that Nigel chose the next hymn. It's 583. "Safe in the shadow of the Lord, I trust in him. I trust in him." 583. Please stand.
This is a poem that I found. It's called The Words Out, and it's by Godfrey Rust, who is one of my very favourite Christian poets. Sometimes I listen for your word and hear nothing. In the quiet of my room, the only noise is the thump of my heart and voices arguing inside my head. It's not that I don't give you a chance. Sometimes I say nothing for as long as 5 minutes. Your silence is still deafening. Then I open a book, and out tumbles your voice. And when I shut that up, I find you can get a word in anywhere. I've even heard you sometimes from the pulpit. I hear you on the 9 o'clock news saying, "What have you done with my world?" I hear you in the tabloid saying, "Whoever is without sin, cast the first stone." With the first burst of spring flowers, you say, "Look, no hands." With the most extraordinary sunset, you say, "Look, just relax." The shrunken face of hunger is you saying, "Feed me." The beggar on the underground is you saying, "House me." The dreaded diagnosis is you saying, "Heal me." The Valium prescription is you saying, "Free me." The redundancy notice is you saying, "Value me." The scream of the torture victim is you saying, "Father, forgive." The priest staring down the barrel of a gun is you saying, "Love casts out fear." When I'm late and hurrying, you are the face on the clock saying, "I am the beginning and the end." When I'm greedy, you are the face on the banknote saying, "Treasure is in heaven." When I'm proud, you drop your banana skins in front of me saying, "Don't look down." When I'm lonely, you are the stillness of the house saying, "I am with you always." And when I'm grieving, you are the voice at the graveside saying, "I am the resurrection and the life." Sometimes I listen for your word and hear nothing. And sometimes I hear nothing else.
The reading is Luke chapter 5, verses 17 to 26, and is on page 1032 in the Pew Bibles. Jesus heals a paralyzed man. One day, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law, who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there. And the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralytic on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up onto the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home. Immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, we have seen remarkable things today. And the next hymn we're going to sing is 735, We Rest on Thee.
God provides for our practical needs too. Our holiday in the Outer Hebrides just kept giving. We saw the most beautiful sandy beaches, the most remote lochs, the dark coloured mountains. We saw beautiful waterfalls and watched the sea eagles flying back from the sea for their night of rest. And in not one of all the photos Nigel took, can you see a single person apart from me? Bliss for him. We moved on by boat on the next week to North Uist. And then we watched the short-eared owls swooping across the scrubland just in front of the lounge window. There was no need for a television there. On the Monday, we had a beautiful walk round the little hamlet of Lochmaddy. We found our first coffee shop of the holiday, and we stopped off after to have our picnic overlooking some lovely hills with their sheep and their lambs grazing on the grass. And then I very innocently asked if we could have the window open. Well, that action resulted in an engine fault coming up on the car. So after lunch, we headed for our local shop, because surely there would be someone there to help us. Having bought our shopping and asked if there was a mechanic on the island, the lady indicated a man who was just about to pay for his shopping. So we told him of our predicament, and he announced that his son was actually the mechanic. He told us that we'd never find it, so follow him up through the island and he'd show us where his workshop was. We got there. The mechanic plugged a gadget into our coal and told us the fort on the car. By now, we only had 2, 4, and 6 gears, and fortunately reverse. But he explained that we needed a Kia dealer. That's what it said on his bit of gadget. He explained to us the nearest one was in Glasgow. But what he did, he recommended that we limped off the island in the car and then called recovery when we got to mainland Scotland. And then for them to take the car home as he thought it was a major fault. We returned to the cottage and reflected on how amazing God was. He provided the knowledge of a mechanic at the shop. We had a personal guide to show us the way. And then the mechanic gave us a clear idea of how to deal with our situation. So we set about hiring a car for the rest of the week. And then leave our car so it could get us to the ferry. And the next morning, a bright red Astra had arrived. And our holiday continued. On Friday, over breakfast, we were thinking about that journey that was coming the next day. We had to get to the ferry port. It was 40 miles. Not too far, but if I tell you we're on a single track with just passing places, the journey would need to start about 4 a.m. because we had to check in at 6 a.m. We wondered about what would happen if the car didn't make it, if we broke down at 4 a.m. So we came up with another plan. We decided to leave on Friday afternoon. And if we had any problems, there would be at least people driving around that might be able to help us. We found on the internet a dear little hotel at Loch Boisdale, right next to the ferry terminal. So that was our plan. We'd stay there for the night. The 40-mile-an-hour journey went very well. We stopped off halfway to get some food because we had a long journey back home. And we arrived in about an hour and a half. We duly parked the car park next to the ferry terminal. And we walked up to the hotel to inquire whether they had any rooms, only to find that they were open for meals tonight, but not accommodation. Well, at least we had a hot meal. And a night in the car wasn't the worst result. The car had made the journey. That was our main concern. So we slept in this little car park. In the Outer Hebrides, they don't cater for large numbers of people. So there were just 6 parking spaces. But we also had our own public toilets with toilet paper and electric lights. We were buzzing. It was not the best of nights, but adequate, and there was no one around to cause us any hassle. And guess what? We were second in the queue for the ferry. The car behaved itself when we arrived at Oban. We found that our premier inn was actually on the quay, so the car only had 100 yards to drive, and then we parked it. The man on the end of the phone laughed when Nigel explained where we were, up in remote Scotland, and where we wanted to get home to. But then he proceeded to arrange everything for us. The next day, the recovery truck arrived 2 hours early. The taxi came early to pick us up and drive us to Glasgow. It was a 2-hour drive, and we watched the meter, £230. But at least the recovery firm was paying. And we picked up our hire car in Glasgow. We continued our journey home. We stayed at Carlisle for the night. And then we just had 5 hours to come home. But the problem was we only had Nigel driving, as he was the only one insured. But our car arrived 3 days later. We drove it to the garage. And now it's commencing its repair. Another week later, another hire car arrived. Yet we can see that God had his hand in the provision of the recovery and the timing. How often does a recovery vehicle come before the due time of arrival? We thank God for his blessings in these very practical issues. And we had the most lovely taxi driver. And he spoke clearly, so Nigel could hear most of what he said on the 2-hour taxi journey. And then the hire car from Glasgow developed a fault. We prayed that it would get us home, and it did. So people may say they are all coincidences, but I wouldn't agree. There are too many things fitting into place that we know God had his hand in this provision. We need to trust God that he will provide for all our needs, even the practical situations, and thank him for what he's done. In the Bible reading from Luke, the man who couldn't walk had some amazing friends. They'd heard about Jesus and heard he was healing people, and they decided to go and see. But they had no certainty of what would happen. But they still went nonetheless. When they arrive, the house is packed. But still they don't give up. They go onto the roof and start to make a small hole. And eventually it's big enough to lower the man to Jesus' feet. Imagine being in that house and bits of mud and straw start falling on your heads. And the realization that someone wants Jesus' attention and his healing. Jesus really responded to the faith of the man's friends. We cannot make another person a Christian, but we can talk to them about Jesus. We can show them through our actions that we care and love them deeply. And then it's up to them to respond to God's calling. Yet in this story, the Pharisees are trying to catch Jesus out. But it doesn't stop Jesus doing what he came to do, to heal the sick and teach the people about God, so that they could know him intimately as their Lord and Saviour. So here's the challenge. We must not stop proclaiming God's love to those people we know that need Jesus in their lives. We have a unique opportunity at the moment to pray for the people in our community in the lead up to Love Wickham. They've even produced an app to show you which streets need to be prayed for. What a witness to pray for our friends and neighbours. There is always something we can do. We just need to step up and accept the challenge, and God will do the rest. In the hymn we've just sung, we go in faith, our own great weakness feeling, and needing more each day, thy grace to know. We rest on thee, and in thy name we go. We can only face the challenges ahead by trusting God. And when we get round to singing the last hymn, you'll see the only way is trust. I know that I can trust God to be me, with me in whatever lies ahead. And I hope you do too. I have a little cross that someone gave me last Christmas, and I read its words every day. Whatever God brings me to, he will get me through. And I would say that's so true. Let us pray. Dear Father God, thank you that you're always with us in whatever we face in the days ahead. Come close to us now and show us how we can rely on you for all the trials that are ahead, and give you the thanks and praise when we know that you've been there for us. Amen.
Shall we pray? Father, we have come here this morning to bring our concerns to you, the God who listens to us. We confess, Lord, that there have been times when we have not walked with you or listened to you, but preferred to listen and walk in step with the world. We have thought only of ourselves, and we have not told others of our faith when we are given opportunities to do so. Forgive us, Lord. We bring our church family before you. Those who are feeling unwell at this time, bring your healing hand upon them. Those who are recovering from operations, those waiting for hospital appointments or results, may they know your presence, knowing that you know how they feel and you care for them. We bring before you, Lord, our community. We think of those who are homeless, those who are affected by the cost of living, those who are looking for jobs. Thank you for the agencies that are there to help, that give people hope of a better future. May we see the church not as a building, but as people who are lost, needing all living water. May we be willing to get our hands dirty for you, Lord. May we serve them with love and compassion, just where they are. May we be defenders of justice where it is needed, as you were, Lord. Lord, you've instructed us to pray for those who lead our country. We think of the coming general election. Bring forth those who know and love you to stand as MPs, so that this country may be led in your ways, with wisdom, compassion, and love. Lord, as we think of the world, our mind goes to Israel, Lord, and to Gaza. We think of the people that are suffering there. We just pray that the supplies they desperately need will come through for them. and may the hostages be released back to the families. That peace talks will happen so that peace will come to both sides. Lord, we think of other places of conflict that need your peace and stability. We bring them to you now. We think of those living in poverty, refugees, those caught up in conflicts, natural disasters such as flooding, earthquakes, and people who need just the basic things that we often take for granted. Lord, we give thanks for those people who are willing to go and help, for Christians showing God's love and compassion in action. Lord, hear our prayers. We come to our last hymn now, and it's The Lord's My Shepherd.
This beautiful blessing is 1,000 years old, and it comes from an English Cistercian monk called Isaac, who became abbot of a small monastery in Stella, outside Poitiers in France. May the Son of God, who is already formed in you, grow in you, so that for you he will become immeasurable, and that in you he will become laughter, exultation, the fullness of joy, which no one can take from you. Amen.